another Thursday, another episode of The Scarlet Edit. This is the first guest episode of February, and I am really, really excited to share this conversation with all of you. My guest this week is named Emily Cooch. She is a content creator, a Pilates instructor. She's down in San Diego living her best life. And we talked all about a subject that has not yet been brought up here on The Scarlet Edit, but one that I think is so incredibly important. After being in a relationship for almost 10 years, Emily got engaged like many people do, and she chose truly at the very last minute to call off her wedding and start over. So listening to her journey, listening to her story, I think it's such an important topic to cover because unfortunately, I could probably count on more than one hand the number of people I know who have said after the fact that they knew on their wedding day that they shouldn't be getting married to the person that they were marrying. And I know that it takes a lot of bravery, a lot of courage to call something off. Once you get engaged, it's like it's this big machine that starts churning and everybody's excited and you're getting prepared and invitations and vendors and locations and guest lists and parties and showers. And it's so easy to get caught up in all of that and then worry, what will everybody think if I decide that this isn't the best thing for me? So I'm very grateful that Emily was willing to come on and share her story. You might recognize her if you are on TikTok. She's got over 150,000 followers over there, and she's really fun. She's really enjoyable. We had a great conversation, a beautiful story of choosing herself and then finding herself in her starting over process. So without further ado, let's get into it. Thank you for being here. And, you know, you have such a bold and brave story. And I think that this topic is something that really, really needs to be discussed more often. So many people get engaged. They get so enamored with the wedding and the planning and the process. And, you know, then there's money spent and invitations sent out and all of these different things. And I do think, like we both talked about before we hit record, that we know too many people who knew on their wedding day that they shouldn't be standing up there. So I think your choices have been so brave. And I'm so excited to hear your story and how you got to where you are now.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, honestly, truthfully, too many people that I know were like, oh, I shouldn't have got married. On my wedding day, I had like a gut feeling, and it like breaks my heart to hear that because I'm like, it's like, thank God, like I didn't go through that.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So give me a little bit of the backstory. So where did you meet your ex? Like how long had you guys been together? And like that whole journey to getting engaged.
Yeah. So we met in college. I was 20 and he was 18. So he was 2 years younger than me. I went to Michigan State. He went to Notre Dame. And we met through, I can't remember. We met through some friends, but like also met through Tinder at the same time. It was weird. Mutual friends. But long story short, we started dating like really young. He was a freshman. I was a junior in college. And we dated all the way up until we got engaged in 2021. And then we were supposed to get married in 2022. And that's when we ended things. Yeah. So we were together quite a long time. Almost full-time years. It's crazy looking back at it.
Wow, that's like a lifetime, especially like that whole decade of your 20s.
Yeah, and it, like looking back now, because I see like a lot of my friends and I almost like became a 21-year-old at 30 years old because all of my 20s I was with somebody. So I was like, yes. I want to like go out and I want to date. And I have like no dating experience. So going on a date was like anxiety, like horrible. First date I ever went on was, I remember like calling all my friends. I'm like, okay, I'm going on this date, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I actually don't even know. Like, what do you talk about? What do you talk about? The weather? Like, so weird. No, I was with somebody who like I could read their mind.
Like, right? I mean, you said you guys met on Tinder, but then being with somebody for 10 years, I mean, the dating landscape changes so dramatically. I had never used any dating apps, and then I was married, and then I was in a long-term relationship. And so then when I got out and I was like, oh my God, I have to get on these dating apps. Like, what am I going to do? And I had like the first or second guy I matched with, he was like, you're everything I've been looking for, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, like this is amazing. And I'm showing one of my girlfriends. And she's like, he's love bombing you. And I'm like, what does that mean?
What's that mean? Help. Well, it's like I started dating my ex-fiance. It was like right when Instagram came out. So there really wasn't even like social media. So like, yeah, I grew up with like MySpace and like AIM, but like true social media, like what it is today, like Instagram had just come out. Like you could only post pictures. Like Tinder was like the first and only dating app. And then I'm like, okay, fast forward to 30. I'm like, whoa, like this is a different water. This is uncharted territory. And I'm like, you can Google a lot about me and like my sister and my family. And I'm like, so people already made their own decision about me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on any dating app. I want to meet people authentically. But then where do you meet people? Like,
right.
Would, like, totally. Stand at like, a bar. Like,
I know. That's what I say all the time.
Run on the treadmill at Orange Theory.
Hi, you're really hot.
Okay.
Right. And it's like, yeah, you want to meet someone organically, but you're also like, you don't want to go out 5 nights a week and be out and about and bar hopping or restaurant hopping. And yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah. Cause now I'm like, okay, well, so now I'm spending a bunch of money to like go out. And then I'm like, I leave the night having talked to nobody. And then I'm like, okay, well, what is this actually fulfilling? I'm also not like the tiniest, like quietest person in any room. I'm very like very extroverted. Like I will talk to anybody. And I'm also like 6 feet without a heel. So put a heel on. Now everybody's like looking up. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, nobody wants to talk to me. Like it's crazy.
Oh my
gosh. So it was very, very scary waters.
Oh, I bet. Jeez. So, okay. So you guys were together for 10 years. You got engaged and how long into your engagement were you before you guys decided to break up?
It was actually my wedding day, like the morning of my wedding, like had my hair and makeup done and literally about to put the dress on. And my mom was like, are you doing this? And I was just like, I don't fucking know. Like, everybody needs to leave me alone. Everybody was like, what are you doing? What is going to happen? Are you getting married? Are you not getting married? And it was just kind of like, I was like, everybody needs to stop talking. I just need to sit in silence for a little bit. And I feel like so bad to this day for the poor girl who was doing my hair and makeup. Cause she's like, this is like the best day of your life. And like, you're going to remember this day forever. And I'm like looking at her in my head. I'm like, yeah, I'm for sure going to remember this day forever. But like, I can't confidently say that this is going to be the best day of my life right now in this moment.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. Very crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So leading up to that day, I would imagine that you had to have moments or gut feelings that were like, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. I did. More so like the month and a half leading up to our wedding, like right after like our bachelor parties, that's when like kind of the red flags or like the gut feelings started coming up. We were actually like building a whole house in California together, like meeting with the decorator and like putting our own little touches on it. And it was a beautiful experience. Like I've never, like we were so close in that moment of like getting this house and like making it ours. And then just after the bachelor parties, it just kind of went south. And part of me was like, you know, we can get through this. We've been through everything together. We've known each other for our entire lives. Our families have like been friends and close. And I like was trying to convince myself, it's going to be okay. Like we're also having a destination wedding. There's around like 150 people like coming.
Oh
like
my
200
gosh.
People were invited. I'm like, it's on an island. Like everybody's renting their hotels. And so there was a lot of things I was like thinking about, like other people coming. And also it was like freshly after COVID and our wedding was in Hawaii. So I was like, these vendors haven't been able to host weddings in literally years. And like, that's people's entire livelihood. I'm like, if I cancel, then I'm like taking away business from them. It was just like, I was trying to think of like everybody else except for myself.
Except yourself.
And I was like, is this actually making me happen? Like happy? Like, do I go through with this? So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So do you think that some of the things that you started seeing or noticing or red flags that were popping up, do you think that they were things that were like always under the surface? Or do you think that they were a result of just you both like growing and changing and becoming really like young adults together?
You know, I come to this like question, honestly, for myself a lot of the time. We had like broken up a little bit. We lived together. And then in 2018, I moved to California. And then we just kind of did a long distance thing. And so, like, I think there was, like, part of it, yes, it was, like, always underlying. There were certain, like, behaviors, tendencies, like, cycles that would, like, show themselves repeatedly. We went to therapy. We were working on communication. And I think in any relationship, therapy is fantastic. Whether you plan on, if you're working through something really hard or if you guys are good, it's just, it's good to have somebody between you that can kind of be like the level, like the benchmark in between. And so I feel like partially, yes. And then partially, I think it was just a lot of things happening. Like we had bachelor trips. He said he was going to have one bachelor trip. It ended up that he had two bachelor trips. And so like that surely never happened in my life. But like, I can't ignore that. I was like, wait, are you having two bachelor trips? And he was like, yeah, I deserve it. And I'm like, oh,
interesting word choice.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, you do that. So yes and no.
So, okay. So walk me through like the morning of, you're getting ready, your hair's done, your makeup's done, which, oh my gosh, like I can just, I'm just envisioning like as you're saying this, like I've been to destination weddings in Hawaii. So like I can envision like the whole thing, like the room with like the ocean view and like the breeze and just like the beauty outdoors.
Literally beautiful. It was at the Royal Hawaiian. I'm looking out at the ocean. I'm like looking at some of our guests at like the tiki bar. I'm like, all my girls are in my room. Like some of them had their kids in and out, like moms, friends' moms. It was like, this should be so amazing. And I was never more anxious in my entire life. But I'll start the day before it kind of like felt real. We had obviously had a destination wedding. A lot of our friends were at this hotel, or at least in the general area. And he didn't come there once. We had a house a couple miles down the road, and he never came to where we were at. And it's like, okay, even if you're like arguing with somebody, if you're about to marry somebody, you like kind of suck it up a little bit.
Like, well, yeah. And it's also like, it's not like it was just your friends. I imagine it was his friends were there too. So it's like, even if you're annoyed, go hang out with your boys.
Right. Like a majority of the people at this wedding were also like his side or like people he invited. So it was like, okay, like I'm with like a lot of your friends, a lot of your family. And it was just like an eerie, like weird feeling like all week. My friend's husband like kept asking me like, are you okay? And I'm like, yay. Like, I'm fine, but I'm like, no, not really. And our wedding rehearsal, I actually got ready with my sister and her husband. And I'm sure my sister was just biting her lips the entire time. Because like later on after the fact, she was like, yeah, just the whole time, like you were getting ready for your rehearsal dinner. Like you should have been getting ready with like your future husband, not with your sister and your brother-in-law.
Right.
And we went to the rehearsal. He like didn't speak to me. And just going to sleep that night, I like had a feeling. I was like, this isn't how you're supposed to get married. Like you're supposed to be over the moon, jumping for joy.
Yeah.
And that's not it. So the morning of, we wake up, I'm crippling in anxiety. My sister ended up sleeping with me the night before my wedding. And so did her husband, because he was like, I'm not leaving you guys. Obviously, this is not unprecedented. And so we wake up, I'm like, okay, I have to get my hair and makeup done, like rushing around. My sister, my mom are like, are you positive? That's what you want to be doing right now. And I was just like, well, their hair and makeup's already on their way. Like, sure. Yeah. Part of it was like a little bit of a blur, like shock, I think, and adrenaline just like coursing through my veins. But I just remember sitting in the chair, getting my hair and makeup done. And my wedding planner called me and she was like, he wants to meet with you. Like, do you want to... Do you want to go meet up with him? And I'm like, sure. Like, yeah. I mean, if we're going to do this, I should probably go see him. Yeah. So he was like, she was like, okay, I'll set you guys up in a room. You guys can go meet up with each other, have a conversation. And I was walking down the hallway to go meet up with him. And I had this like manifestation app on my phone, and I had it like, it's very weird. It's like almost like it knows what's going on in my life, because I hadn't got a notification. No, I was like very strange. And it's like set on like timers. I just like didn't hear from this little app for like a week. And on the way to the room, it like popped up a notification. It was like, I trust my gut when I feel like something's off or like something along those lines. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
So I get into this room. He's like sitting in the chair, his like arms are crossed, like legs up on the bed. And he was just like, we just like immediately started to like bicker with each other. And I'm like, should we just cancel the ceremony? He was like, yeah, I think that's like the best, or like something along those lines. And I was like, okay. I got up from the chair, walked out the hallway, and I was just like, okay, so we're calling off the wedding. What I assumed to be calling off the wedding. Like get into the elevator. He like has some choice words for me as I'm like walking out the door. I get back to the room. I was like, okay, the wedding's off. And then like I just walked out to the patio. Like there was like a balcony like on the bridal suite room. And it was like everybody in the room became an ant. Like every little ant found its little job, and, like just started doing stuff. Like my sister immediately was like, let's order food. My mom's like, okay, let's call like everybody on our side, like tell them what's going on. I think my friend and her boyfriend like ended up going and get like champagne. They were like, we're just going to like be here in this room, have whatever we need to. And like, whatever you need, like we're here. And which I thought was like the most beautiful thing. One of my friends, her daughters were like supposed to be my flower girl. She like put them in the flower dresses and like had them come out on the patio to like show me. And I was just like, okay, it just basically in a state of shock. And like later on, it kind of wore off, but it was like, wait, did I just do that? Like, I like don't even know, like, I didn't even think consciously I knew that I was making the choice that I made in that moment.
Oh my gosh. That's got to be just like, it's like, it's amazing what our bodies do when we're going through something like that. Like you said, like adrenaline and all of these different like hormones and emotions and just like your body, like going into protective mode too, because there is that shock and there's that like, holy shit, did we just do this? Like, do I have 150 people like getting ready to come to our wedding today? And now we're going to be like, just kidding. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Literally crazy. And I'm like, people are like, how did you make it the choice? And I was like, it sounds really freaking weird looking back now, but like months before that, I had this like vision of my dad being like, you don't have to do this. Like, and I literally couldn't get this vision out of my head. Like for months, I had this like thought, my dad was like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. And like that week, he didn't say like in those exact words. My dad was just like very supportive. Like, I'll talk to him if I need to. Like, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we're here. I'm very, very lucky. The parents I have are incredibly supportive in everything and every choice I've ever made. And I just like had that like in the back of my head, like that whole morning. And so how I made the choice, honestly, I chalk it up to like divine intervention, because there's literally no way I would have ever done that with those many, like that many people. It was like, I was like in a pressure cooker and I had no other choice but to make that decision for myself.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, do you feel like when he called you in to meet him in the room that there was a part of him that like wanted to pick a fight with you to see if you guys could call it off? Or do you think he was just more like he wanted to see you for another reason? I mean, did he like ever tell you when you walked in, oh, hey, this is why I wanted to see you?
No. And like, part of me was, has like always, like in my entire life, I'm always like trying to predict what like somebody was thinking or like the motives of like why somebody did something. And like reflecting back on that moment, I'm like, I went into that room, like fully trusting my gut and just like the energy that I felt. And like, regardless of like what he wanted to do, or, like how he wanted to go about it, or like just like what was going on through his head, like, I genuinely just think that like my gut took over, and whatever his intention was, like this was like the right thing. Like this was meant to be. But after calling like the ceremony off, he ended up having the whole reception.
Like, okay. That was going to be one of my questions. Did either of you end up just going for it because you had all this party planned?
Right. Right. Well, no, my side, like anybody that I invited, like my mom, everybody was like kind of like corralling everybody. And one of my mom's friends, she's been friends with him for like 20 years. Him and his wife were like, we're going to make a dinner reservation at a restaurant. And then we're just going to say it's like Emily's birthday or something. Like, we need to like go eat. We can't just like sit in this hotel room for the rest of the day. So we ended up going to dinner. Immediately as I sat down, like the shock wore off and I was like, oh, this is real. Mm-hmm. Like, what did I, like, then I started panicking. Like, what did I just do? Like, did I mean to do that? Like, should I have done that? I was like second guessing myself like in the moment, but yeah, he ended up having the reception. My wedding photographer, I was like, girl, COVID, you go take your pictures. I was like, go get content for these people, these vendors. Like everybody worked so hard on it. So we had almost like a year to plan it. So I didn't want to like let those people down, like have them miss out on like the hard work that they put into it. But I myself did not go, and nor did anybody at my like side. So.
Oh my gosh. So how much longer were you on the island before you went back home? And then you had to figure that out.
Yeah. So the night that we were supposed to get married, we like went to dinner. Halfway through dinner, I completely freak out. Like shock has worn off. I'm having a mental breakdown. We need to get out of here. So my friend like walked me back to my hotel. I went to sleep and I woke up to my sister and her husband, like on a couch in the room. And I heard this like thumping and I'm like, what is this thumping noise? And I like walk out and it's my dog who apparently came running into like my sister, like went and found somebody to go get my dog because we shared three dogs together. But one of them was very much my little baby girl. She lived with me in California when I was like traveling back and forth. So my sister was like, we need to get Kaya because the only thing that's going to make her feel remotely normal is like having her dog. So like hear her little tail, like walk out. I'm like, first of all, how did Kaya get here? What's going on? Like, was yesterday a dream? Am I hallucinating? Like trying to like get my bearings. That whole day I ended up just like workshopping how to get off this island. I had to get off with a dog. And we flew with all three of them there together. So it was like, okay, well, I'm not flying on a private jet out of here. Like, I'm going to need to get my dog out of here somehow. And my mom, I got a flight, booked me on a flight with one of my friends who, like, her layover was in L.A. on the way to Miami. And we, like, showed up at the American counter. My friend, her name is Samantha, she was like, we need to get her on the flight with this dog. Like, I don't think you understand. She needs to get on immediately. We took the red eye. So it was like the whole day was just like stress. I'm like, am I going to get on the flight with this dog? I don't have a service vest. She's not a service dog. Like, what am I going to do? The American Airlines agent's like, you need to like fill out service paperwork like 24 hours in advance. And she's like, she didn't know she was calling her wedding off 24 hours ago. And he was like, okay, okay. Like, whoever that angel was probably doesn't remember it. Maybe he does. But I honestly, like, chef's kiss got me on that plane. With my dog, he was like, I gotta get this girl out of here. I'm like, I'm gonna lose my mind if I don't get off this freaking island.
Yeah. I still want to talk about so many of these different things, right? Because this is like this is the story part, but then I want to like really learn more about the emotions and the thoughts. And you know, I think it's so unbelievably brave to make that call, and I think that that's why sharing these stories are so important, and why I wanted to have you on, because I hope that if there's any, you know, one person out there that's listening to this that is afraid to call something off because of all of the reasons that you've mentioned, right? The number of people that have been invited, the vendors that are getting ready to go, the money that's already been spent, or the money just to spend it all in its entirety. It's like so many things can make people so nervous and just decide to go for it anyways. But before we go into that a little bit more, I am so curious, like, so when you got back, like, did you guys speak the next day even before you left, or was there time that you had to like organize and split up assets and life and all of that? Or how did that unfold?
Yeah. Without going into too much detail, I mean, obviously Google's there, but the person I was with had a mass amount of money. I didn't. They got injured and their career was their body. And I took my career and I put it to the side to kind of be there for them and like support them through whatever they needed throughout their recovery and rehab. And so when we separated, I literally was on the island with two suitcases. And of course you would assume that it was all bridal stuff. So it was just like, two suitcases, a bunch of bridal stuff. My name wasn't on any houses that he owned. No cars that he owned. I did have a car like in my name that I got before we even got engaged. So I had that going for me sitting in California. Mm-hmm. But we were renting a house in LA, like waiting for our house to be built. He had a house back on the East Coast, like where we like was our permanent like home base, if you will. Mm-hmm. So when we left, I didn't talk to anybody on his side. I literally got on a plane, took the red eye, got to LA. My parents got me a hotel room because I was like, okay, well, where am I going to go? Like, I don't have anywhere to go. Got a hotel room. My family was still on the island for like the foreseeable future. Everybody was like trying to get, they were going to stay for a whole nother week. So now everybody's trying to find flights. I'm just the only person back. So I stayed in a hotel for a couple days. Luckily, one of my sister's like friends flew back pretty quickly. I think the day that like my first full day back in LA, her friend was there. So she like took me out to dinner and was just like, I'm not letting you out of my sight. Like, come watch a movie with me. Come watch TV. And it was like, I'm not paying attention to this TV. I'm trying to figure out what the frick I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Like, I have no money, no job, no place to live. Like, my parents live in Detroit. I'm not moving to Detroit. My sister's married. I'm not moving into what, their apartment. Like, they're newlyweds. They don't want the older sister who just called off her wedding, life's in shambles, to be moving in. Oh, hey guys. I know that you're like, not even like,
morning.
I'm here. Hi. I'm here with my dog.
Breakfast is ready.
Your two dogs and your cat in like a two bedroom apartment.
Oh my gosh.
So I like talked to people like in his family and was just like, okay, I need to get my stuff. He wasn't going back for a little bit. So it was just like, I just had two suitcases. I was just like, hey, I'm here. My sister, obviously, sweet angel that her and her husband are, were like, just come to our apartment. Like, we'll figure this all out. So I stayed with them for a little bit in their apartment. They ended up being able to move into their house. I moved into their house. But I didn't get like half my stuff for like months. Like, like I'm talking like literally months. Like, I didn't get my stuff till like the end of October, like middle of October, I think. If I'm not mistaken, it was like 2-3 months, 4 months after like, the fact
was
of like
he
me
just
calling
like
off my wedding.
Not, was he just not?
I think
allowing
it was just
back
like
in the house.
Well, it was like my lawyer was like contacting his lawyer. He was like, well, the house that I would have got my stuff from was all the way on the East Coast. My mom's like, you're not flying all the way there by yourself. Like that's too emotional. You don't need to be doing all that. So it was like, they were going to ship my stuff and like pack it. But I'm like, okay, our lives have been intertwined for how many years? Like, how do you know that like, I don't have like a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, like lobbed in some closet in some back room? I'm like, I want to like go through and get my stuff. I ended up flying to the East Coast at one point and all of my stuff was already in boxes. So I'm like, why am I even here? Like, what am I going to do? Go around and like put a sticker on things? Like, I thought I was going to pack there. So it was like quite a bit before I could get anything, but I had literally nothing except for me and my dog and parents who were like obviously very supportive and siblings. So,
oh my gosh. So it was truly like a massive starting over moment.
Right. I was like, had plenty of mental breakdowns. I was like, what the fuck am I doing at 30 right now? I was like, there's no way I let myself get into this position. Like, how did I end up here? Like, this is not real. This has to be fake.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think that there's like, there's so much beauty in the struggle. And it's also, I mean, I'm sure now that you've got a few years behind you and you're able to like really look backwards and see how some things were so clear and how some of the things that happened along the way, you were like, oh my God, like, of course, this is where we ended up. Starting over is also like another really big theme on this show, right? Because we have people in all types of relationships that have ended or, most of them have ended, right? All types of relationships that have ended in all these different ways.
Something's ending.
And the starting over, I just think, you know, it can be so fascinating, but I look at so many people that I talk to and so many of them on the other side are like, wow, I'm so grateful that this happened because like, I look at where I am today and like all of this, like, I don't know that I would be here had it not been for all of these things. So when you reflect back on your starting over process, like what were those initial steps after getting your stuff? And what do you think played like the biggest role in building yourself back to this new version of you?
Yeah, it was really scary, very daunting. If anybody's going through that, there is literally no right way to go about it. Like,
totally.
so many people, my mom, like people were like, oh, like, shouldn't you be getting a job? Like, shouldn't you be doing this? I'm like, I was just with somebody for almost 10 years. I don't even actually know if what I went to college for is what I actually like. Like, I was a Pilates instructor before we were together, or like, I guess started during while we were together. I don't even know if I want to do that anymore. Like, I don't even know who I am. Like, so much of like growing up with somebody, it was like, did that shape my identity? Is that who I am? Do I like these things? And that was really confusing. And like something that even like to this day, now I'm like on a different side of it, which we can get into later. But at the beginning, it was like really scary. I'm like, I don't even know who I am. Like, was my personality this person's personality? Do I really like sushi? Like, I don't even know. Like,
yes.
I'm not sure.
I was literally just thinking... Remember in Runaway Bride, Julia Roberts, like after that final wedding that she leaves, she sits there and she's like eating all of these eggs because she's always just had her eggs the way the man in her life has had his eggs. And so she's like, I got to figure out how I like my eggs.
I'm like, I don't know how I like my eggs. Like, do I like it like this? Like, what do I like? Thankfully, I still very much like sushi. so that wasn't like part of anybody else. But it was like a big like, holy, like I have to like relearn myself as a person, like completely from the ground up. And I'm incredibly lucky. My aunt and her wife are therapists. And I like tried to go to therapy and it was like almost like frustrating for me because it's like, okay, well, ruminating on it and like talking about it is not helping. If anything, it's making me worse. And I had a lot of therapists. I did like the Better Health, like these health apps. Just trying to like cycle through a therapist, like somebody that could like understand me and like somehow make me feel better. And everyone's like, you need depression medication. You need anxiety medication. And I'm like, I don't think that's what I want right now. Like, I don't need to be like numbed out of this, but I definitely don't want to talk about it. And my sister, like in jokingly in passing was like, I think you need to go on like an Eat, Pray, Love trip. And I was like, I've never read the book. I've never watched the movie. I have no idea what you're talking about. But all I know is that the girl goes on a vacation for an extended period of time. So I called my aunt, my dad's sister, and I was like, I need to talk to you. Like, you're a therapist. You'll tell me if I'm crazy. I'm like, I feel like I need to go on a trip. Like, talking about it's not helping. I don't know what I need to do. And she was like, I didn't buy you a wedding gift. She was like, how about I buy you a ticket and just get you out there? And I was like, okay, great. Fantastic. I typed in like all female retreats. And the first one that came up, I like clicked it and I was like, cool, call them. Got a phone call, like maybe not even 24 hours later. The woman was from Australia and the retreat was in Bali. And I was like, fantastic.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go.
Perfect. Perfect.
And I'm like, I'm terrified of long flights. I have a panic attack. Any long flight that I've ever been on, I'm like, but I have to do it. It's like the first plunge. I'm like, oh, you're scared of flights? Are you really scared of flights? Or was it the person next to you who didn't make you feel safe? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean,
what was it?
I love it too, because it's not like you were like, oh, I'm in LA, like, let me fly to like Panama or, you know, Colombia, which is like, you know, yes, out of the country, but, you know, a few, three, 4 hours. You're like, let me go like all the way across the Pacific, like into Asia, 16 hours. Let's do it.
Like 28 hour trip. Oh, chef's kiss, get me on it. My mom's like, are you sure? My mom's like, obviously, like a little concerned. She like calls my aunt. She's like, why did you tell her to go on this trip? And my aunt's like, I think it'll be really good for her. Like, she needs to be around people who know nothing about her. She doesn't have to talk about it. She can dissociate a little bit. So definitely the best thing that I did was like, and I don't think anybody needs to go all the way across the planet, but sometimes talk therapy is not the best. And, or maybe it's not the right time for talk therapy.
Preaching to the choir.
Right. Like, there's a lot of different therapies that can help you. And I think just not talking about it sometimes is like perfectly fine and okay.
Oh my God. I so am in such agreement with that. Like, I feel like I think therapy is great. I think that for me, I mean, I can only speak for myself. There is a time and a place for it. I have never been able to really understand when, you know, I hear people talk and they make comments about like, oh, like I've seen the same therapist for the past 4 years. I'm like, wow, that is
that's
a commitment. Like, I'm always just like, whoa, you know, so what works best for me is like movement, travel, and just going and seeing other things. And I think for me, like the travel and movement go hand in hand, because whenever I go somewhere new, I'm walking. I walk the city, yeah. I walk places, I go and find, you know, local spots and do different things. So it's kind of like a two for one, if you will, right? I'm like, right. okay, I'm here, right. I'm going to figure this out. And then my mind gets moving and then I'm able to process through things. And there's absolutely a benefit to talking through things with other people. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I so can relate to what you're saying. Like, I just need to get the hell out of here.
I was like, I got to get out. I got to go somewhere. And my brother-in-law, he knows like a life coach. She's, I don't want to call her a life coach. She's like a performance coach, essentially. And she like helps athletes like get rid of blocks. And he was like, you should talk to her. I don't know what will happen from it, but like maybe this could help. And we like had like a little meeting before I went on my trip. And then I was like, she was like, let's like circle back when you come back from your trip and like, we can start working together. And even then it was like, I would like talk through like some things that like reminded me of something or like a time in our relationship, or like some type of relationship dynamic that me and him had that like I could identify later. And it was like, I'm not just sitting and ruminating on it. I'm working on what I'm doing to work on myself to be better. Like, what is self-sabotaging? What did I learn from somebody else? Like, are my thoughts my own thoughts? And that was really helpful. There was still obviously like a little talking about things, but not, okay, this is the event. This is what happened. Like, what's that going to do? It's not going to make the event go away.
Totally. And the most important part is to, okay, it's like acknowledge it, mourn it, grieve it, and then get to the point where you can start to move forward and get to know yourself again and figure out like, who am I at this phase of my life? What do I like? What do I dislike? What are my boundaries? Like, when I am ready to invite somebody else into my world, like, what does that look like? And what are things that are non-negotiables?
Yeah. And I think part of that too is like, especially if you're with somebody over like a long period of time, you have to figure out who you are as yourself. And in my case, there was like a whole Reddit page telling me that I was a gold digger. And I'm like,
no,
literally, it couldn't be more from the truth. But I was like, almost like in
wait, like if this was a Reddit page about you.
Yeah, there was a whole like Reddit about she stole her dog, she's a gold digger, she's a terrible person. And it's like, okay, well, obviously I'm not going to go fight with internet trolls. But then part of me in like dating, when I was like finally ready to date, that like Reddit page was like in the back of my mind. And not that you need a Reddit page to like have that. Like, if you break up, people are always chattering and talking.
Oh my God,
and
like, girl, yes.
You know, I'm like, you're like almost trying to like prove those people wrong. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not a gold digger, but I'm also like, I don't want to date a bum who's not successful and goal driven like I am, because.
Right.
What? So you can almost like in healing or like in leaving a long relationship, you can almost like do a 360 and do the exact same thing, the complete opposite direction, and like not acknowledge or like not even notice it. So I think there's like a fine line you have to like walk of like learning who you are and like what you actually want, not just trying to like prove people wrong or prove people that you're like a certain way. And that's really hard. It's really, really hard to like identify and like walk the middle.
It's so hard. And it's insane when people, you know, I laugh because I look back and I think there's some quote that I've seen and it makes me reflect on people that are no longer in my life. And it says something like, you know, oh, if you knew me like 7 years ago, like that person doesn't exist anymore. And so I just like take so much comfort in that because I'm just like, okay, like you don't even know this version of me. Like if we haven't spoken since 2018, like you're welcome to talk about me all you want. But like you're talking about a person that is so much more evolved and you don't even know this person that sits
here
now.
You do not know me. Like you do not know me at all. Like it's not the same person. Like that person, like that version of us is like inside, but it's like people grow, they evolve, they change, and not always moving at the same speed, same pace, like same journey. So it's tough.
Okay, of course. Everybody judges people, right? We all see something on a screen and we have a thought or whatever. But the people and the amount of people that are so emboldened to type these horrible, cruel comments, like to spend their time on the internet just being mean. I'm like, don't you have anything better to do? Like it blows my mind.
Like literally crazy. And my ex and I were not really like... we post each other, but we were like very quiet on social media. Like I was not on TikTok. I was just like a silent person kind of on the internet. Uh-huh. My sister was like, has always been on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, everything. And so people like were like, oh, she's going to her sister's wedding. And then my sister went radio silent. My sister's like, I can't go on social media for weeks. Well, people are, what are people going to say? Like, you're obviously in no mental health space to be like talking about this stuff. And so I wasn't really even on social media. And people were like, I wonder what happened, like speculations. And I'm like, oh my God, like if I was like on social media when this happened, like, I don't know, it could have been worse. Maybe it could have been better. I'm not really sure, but it's crazy. Like what people do and say, what?
I know.
But I think it's like hurt people. And that's like, mm-hmm. I try to give the benefit of the doubt for like a lot of the comments I heard about me or like people that I was friends with or close with or like were in our lives that I'm like, they are projecting their own insecurities and their own shit onto me.
100%.
And like, once you like relieve yourself of that, it mm-hmm. changes your life. It's not an easy task to do, though. It's like,
No, absolutely. One of my other favorite sayings when I'm feeling like especially petty, when I see, you know, somebody talk about me or hear something that somebody said is, you know, people talk about you because when they talk about themselves, nobody listens.
That's good.
And that's just, I just kind of go, okay. Like, go ahead.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Cute. That's nice.
Love that for them.
So how are you? So what are you, 3, almost 4 years past this now?
Yeah. Three and a half. Yeah.
Wow. And so what are you the most proud of today?
Oh, there's so much to be proud of, but
good.
I think just like being able to like live without having to call people and ask them about like what I should do every step of the way. I think it's really scary to leave somebody who you made a lot of decisions with. I would call him for every single decision that I was making. Mm-hmm. We were partners in a relationship. And then I found myself doing that after we were separated, like my mom, my brother, my sister, like my dad, just like looking for validation or like the answers. And there is actually literally no answers to anything in life. And you just have to make a choice. Making a choice is really challenging. And it puts you even further behind than you could have ever been. I still believe everything happened. Like nothing is meant for you is going to pass you by, but not making a decision is making a decision. So just choose. So I think that's what I'm most proud of is just being able to like make choices on my own, which sounds so insane, but
no, but I think it's such a beautiful reflection though. I mean, truly you spent some of your most formative years with somebody, you know, building a life, making those decisions for everyday little things. And I think that it's so easy to get in those habits because it's like the person that you love, the person that you envision as your husband, as the father of your children, like all of these different things. And so it becomes so normal. It's like, of course I would ask him like, what do you think about this? Or, hey, what do you think I should do in this situation? But then it's like when you are when you end that and then you're in a situation where now it's like you and you, and you got to rely on you. And you do want to get to a point where you are. Yeah. I mean, but it's like you're the captain of your own ship, right? It's like you're running the show and you have to be able to make those decisions because it's your life. And why would you want to put the control of your life in somebody else's hands?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important too for us as women to see not so healthy relationships in like a romantic partnership and then how it translates to other things like my work relationships, places that I was like my bosses, management. I was like people pleasing all these people like, oh, I'll stay at this job just a little bit longer until the world is perfect and like I can leave them. Or, you know what? They didn't pay me what I should have been paid. But you know what? It's a good experience. Like I'm just going to keep doing it or like everything will come out on the wash at the end. And it's like, I fell in such a toxic relationship within my work. Yeah. And like, I was doing work that I shouldn't have been doing, going above and beyond, building programs. And like, that's not healthy either. And so to make sure that when you leave a relationship that doesn't serve you, that you don't put that energy somewhere else, into your friends, family, because a toxic relationship is a toxic relationship, whether it's a romantic one or not. And I think people who
do. That's the truth.
Like, and people are like, oh, but you're so strong. And I'm like, you're so like hard-willed, and like you're so opinionated, and like you're so passionate. And I'm like, yes, but I can also be a people pleaser. And I can also want to hear like other people's happiness come before mine. And it's not, it's to an extent, it's not a bad thing. But also it's like, okay, well, now I'm sabotaging myself.
You know, you've made so many wonderful points about getting to know yourself again and figuring out who you are. And in a lot of sense, it's like you're setting boundaries and you're standing up for yourself. So yeah, it's like you acknowledge like, hey, this behavior can transfer from one aspect of my life to another. I mean, it's kind of like addiction, right? You like sometimes you see people who are like insane athletes, or maybe they became like a marathoner or a I don't know, what's that thing that everybody's doing now? High rocks or CrossFit or, you know, and like, but like, correct. Then you learn their story and like, oh, they were like addicted to Coke or they were an alcoholic. And it's like they trade one addiction for another. And I mean, I think sometimes that can be super healthy, but then other times it's like, if it's a behavioral thing where you're like, I was being very codependent and very, you know, just like letting things happen. And then it's like, no, I'm going to actually set some boundaries. And I'm going to say, no, if you want to work with me, like this is how it's going to go, or these are my rates, or this is how I'm going to do things. If you want to date me, like these are my boundaries. And I think that that's totally okay.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, like from the psychology standpoint, it's like predictability is easier on the brain. So it's like, okay, I met my friend, we'll use him as an example. He dates girls and it's like always the same type of girl. I'm like, you know, pick a different outcome. I'm like, he's like, oh, well, I'm not like rich enough, or I'm not successful enough for like this type of woman. And I'm like, well, if you keep telling yourself that, you're not. And also you're just picking the safest option so that you can be like, oh, she used me and then she blew me off. And now I'm sad and lonely again. And I'm like, that's like, we just keep recreating the restore, like the same story over and over again, because predictability is really easy. And even in myself, I was trying to prove all of these people wrong and like started dating somebody who didn't have qualities that I wanted. Like I was taking us out to dinner all the time. He was never bought me flowers once. And I was like, I don't need flowers. I don't need no man. I'm like, I didn't want to become this hyper independent woman. Like I wanted to live like a soft little girl. Like I want to be independent, but I also like flowers. I like being taken out and dated. You know, chivalry, old school chivalry.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I just kept going back because I was like, I don't know if it was trying to prove other people right, or if it was just like, oh, well, I know that this relationship's just going to end up how it has always ended up. And that's just how it's going to go. And it's like, we have to make the decision to be like, you know what? I have to pick something that I don't know the outcome. And it's really, really scary. But it like makes new neural pathways in your brain. And the more you make uncomfortable decisions, the better off you are and the easier decisions become.
Absolutely.
And it's tough, but it has to happen.
It has to happen. And if your mindset is that everything is negative, then you're going to only find negative things. But if your mindset is that everything is positive, you're going to find positive things. Like I am such a big believer. Like there's a guy who, and actually this conversation with you has prompted me to email him when we're done, because he made a comment in an email to me a couple of weeks ago saying that like, oh, well, you know, like the relationship podcast space is so saturated. And I'm like, no, it's not. There's only one me. Like there's only one me who's doing a show exactly like this. So I don't view it as saturated at all. I am one of one. I am my own niche. So I'm like, no, like if you're thinking that, then that's the direction your show's going to go. But I'm thinking the complete opposite, and my show's only going up, baby. So it's absolutely so important, because our subconscious doesn't know the difference. So it's like, if you're saying really negative things to yourself, those negative things are going to keep happening.
The most profound piece of advice I got after calling my wedding off, and ironically enough, this person that I got this, I don't know what's the word for it, like profound knowledge from, was actually friends with my ex. And he was at like a housewarming party they were both at. And he was like, let me like step outside. And you're like talking. He's like, I just want to know like from your side, like what happened. And we're talking and like going through this. I'm like, arms are crossed. He like dead serious looking me in the eyes. And he's like, what did this teach you? And I'm like sobbing, crying. Like, I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? What did it teach me? I'm like, I'm never trusting anybody again. And like, relationships don't work and men fucking suck. And like, I can't trust anybody. Like, blah, 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 like freaking out. And he was like, Emily, I know right now in the heat of the moment, that's what you want to resort to. But he's like, you literally have to ask yourself, like, what is this teaching me? And what can I learn from this? And from then out, I was like, and that was probably like 2 or 3 weeks after I called my wedding off. From then out, I saw every self-help book, every mental health, like neuro, psychic, like anything I could get my hands on, and just like a quantum physics way. Cause I'm like, talking about it, not working, not happening. I'm not numbing myself with drugs. Not that people don't need anxiety medication and things for depression. Sure. But for me, it just, I needed to feel everything because I kind of think I've already numbed myself out of a lot of things that I needed to be feeling. So that when he said that, I was like, that like stuck with me. I think about it all the time. Like weird shit will happen. Things with my job, my career. I don't know. I would always resort back to, okay, what is this teaching me? Because even in like the bad times or like things that shouldn't happen to people, obviously, like really bad things do happen, but it's what can you learn from that? What can you take from this? How can you pivot? Like you said, you're like, oh, relationship space is really saturated. And I'm like, I'm a Pilates instructor. And people are like, you live in California. Isn't Pilates and fitness like super saturated out there? But I'm like, I'm one of one. I am one human being.
Exactly.
And like, I bring my own style, my own music, my own conversation. Like nobody can take that away from you. And the more you tell yourself that life is bad and the more you tell yourself that you don't deserve certain things, and that's what you're going to be manifesting. Words are so powerful. And I think the word manifestation is like so overused, but at the same time, it's like things manifest because you speak about them. Like,
oh my God, absolutely. I know. It's so funny. Some of these words, like I try hard not to use the word empower, but sometimes it's the only word that makes sense. And I'm like, I know this word is overused. It drives me crazy, but it's the word that I need to use right now.
I'm like, was like recently in like a like relationship, and as we were like, I broke up with him and I was like, this just isn't working. Like something about like, I just can't. I can't do it anymore. And he was like, yeah, like you just live in a Delulu land of like, you're just manifesting everything. And like, you just think that like life's just going to be that easy. And I'm like, well, yeah, life is going to be that easy because I say what I want. I do the things that I need to do to get there. And then it happens. Like, you say things and you don't put action behind it. Of course, nothing good's going to happen. I'm like, you need to take charge of your life. You might not know the exact way. It might not happen exactly how you thought or wanted it to happen. But yeah, I am for sure. I am delusional and I'm going to continue to be absolutely delusional about my life.
Hell yes. I love it. This is awesome. So, okay, before we wrap this up, tell me if you could go back as this version of you, if you could go back to your wedding day, what would be the one thing that you would tell yourself that morning?
I think at first, having left that relationship, everyone was like, you're so strong. Like, you're so brave. You're so powerful. Like, took a lot of guts for you to do that. And it like made me uncomfortable. Like, I didn't want praises. Like, I didn't like compliments. And it was really hard for me to accept that from people. And I think back to the girl sitting on the airplane with her dog, a backpack, and a suitcase, just like sobbing hysterically. Yeah. Not to mention both of my headphones were dead. So it was just me for 6 hours on the plane.
Oh, God.
With no, just my thoughts. Like, obviously, I'm not sleeping. I have adrenaline just like coursing through my veins. And I think back to that version of me and like, I just like want to give her a hug and just like, seriously look her in the face and be like, you have no idea how brave you are to not know anything in front of you and to not know what the fuck the world is going to give you. Like, what's going to happen? How are you going to make money? But everything's going to work out greater than you could have ever imagined. And I would just tell her how brave, how proud I am of her. It's just, I wouldn't do anything different. Like, I literally wouldn't have changed a thing. I mean, obviously, hindsight 2020, I wish I would have like called it off before we were all in Hawaii. But it's like, I had to get to that point. You know, I think everybody's in their own timeline. I had to get to that point. If I called it off before I went to Hawaii, I would have maybe had more regrets. Like, Yeah. I might not be where I am today. I had to be in a pressure cooker to like literally be like, hello, girl, you cannot do this. So looking back, wouldn't change anything. But I would just tell me how brave I was. That's how proud awesome. This future self of me is so proud of her.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm proud of you too. I'm so excited for you and all that you have ahead of you. So tell everybody listening how they can find you. I know you have a pretty great following on TikTok and I enjoy your videos. So tell everyone else.
So you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, soon YouTube. I'll be posting on there in the coming weeks. It's Emily Kuch, K-U-C-H-H, because somebody stole the one with one H, so we just roll with that. I was like, I don't know why the double H is like, I want to get rid of it, but it's there, and it's we are just leaning into it. TikTok, perfect. Instagram, can find me there, follow me for the journey. Who knows what's next?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been really enjoyable talking
with you. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it. It was great talking with you.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Scarlet Edit. If you have not already caught that there is a new series that I'm putting out every Monday called Affairs Through the Ages, you should definitely go and check that out. There's already two episodes that are live and another episode will be coming out this coming Monday. Also, if you are listening on the Apple podcast app, please go in and rate this episode 5 stars and let me know what you think. I always love hearing from you. Thank you for being a part of The Scarlet Edit. We'll see you next week.